Talk about a spike in coronavirus cases. We have a spike in news stories, the likes of which I've not seen before. News and information stories based on a lot of different things, depending upon who's writing them, which venue, which platform they're showing up on, etc. It's a real jungle out there. Donald Trump is pushing very hard to reopen schools. He's now vowing to pressure state governors who resist. Interesting. As Henry said last night, Brazil's president is coronavirus positive. Mr. Bolsonaro is an infectee. Let's see, what else do we have here? We'll get to a lot more in the hour. I just want to hit some of the lowlights or highlights, however it may be perceived. Coronavirus may not have originated in China, says Oxford University expert. That's one I want to read when we get off the air here a little later. Can't read them all. We're over 100 a day. It's just a lot of reading. The World Health Organization is sending a mission to China to clarify the origins of coronavirus. Where did this coronavirus come from? They're sending a delegation there. Operation Warp Speed awards Novavax $1.6 billion for a COVID vaccine. Dr. Fauci rebuts Donald Trump on taking comfort in the lower U.S. coronavirus death rate figures. Trump almost immediately rebukes Fauci's coronavirus assessment and says, "I think we're in a good place. I don't think we'll be seeing Dr. Fauci at any more White House briefings for a while," etc. There's a lot up there to take a look at. Don't let it overwhelm you. Just pick and choose a few. Let the stuff percolate and settle in, and you make your own decisions. All right, Henry, welcome back. We got a lot going on here again, as every day and every way. It's always new. Go ahead. Welcome.
Thanks. I didn't see the article about not originating in China. I find that very hard to believe, but I'll try and track that down. But,
ask and you shall receive.
Okay. Other than that, most of the other ones are kind of linked together, combining the explosion of the cases coupled with Trump's desire to pretend it's not happening. And it's creating a very, very, very dangerous situation. And, schools are opening in about a month or so in the South. They're like in the first half of next month. Yeah, right, yeah. Right. And as you said, Trump is, saying all the schools should be open, and using the argument that students do relatively well with the virus, and they need to open them up. If you recall, he wanted to open them up last spring, before they shut down. He said, "Oh, we should open up," which made zero sense. He wanted to do that like in the last 2 weeks of the year or something. And his ability to calculate risk reward is non-existent. I said yesterday his math wasn't very good. And actually, the book came out, or it isn't quite out yet. I think it's out next week or so. But excerpts and discussions of the book by Trump's niece came out.
There are a lot of things already being leaked. The Guardian has a copy of it. CNN has a copy of it. So, yeah, formally
it'll be released. Everybody has a copy of it.
That's right.
I think it was put out as not embargoed. So a lot of people are talking about it. I think it comes out in a week or two for the general public. But it's not not really a leak. It's just kind of a preview type of a thing for discussions.
That's right.
To pop up.
That's right.
And you know, one of them was that he didn't take his SATs. He paid somebody to actually do his SATs for him. That's how he got into to the University of Pennsylvania.
All right. Well, there's going to be an avalanche of things like that that are obviously coming.
Right.
Yes.
Right. But back to the pandemic. You know, the number was pretty close to an all-time high again today. I've got it at 55,000, but I didn't even count Illinois or with the other one. Massachusetts, their numbers. Illinois still hasn't updated its website. I don't know what's going on there, but it's been like 4 or 5 days. And Illinois was getting up to 1,000 cases a day. So there should be a lot more in Illinois than that.
I wonder what the deal is. That is odd.
Yeah, I don't know. And then Massachusetts started numbers which were about 5,000 below where they left off. And so they've done that for 2 days. I thought maybe yesterday's was just wrong, but then today's kind of masked yesterday. So they're like, they were at 110,000. Now they say they're at 105,000. I haven't dug through that to figure out where the 5,000 cases went. But even without those two, I got up to 55,000, in part because Texas set a record. Texas broke 10,000 today. California broke 10,000 today. And Florida was around 7,000. And like I said, I think some of this is limited by testing capabilities, and so they're they're basically bumping up against their maximum. But even with that, it got up to 55,000. There's a reasonable shot that it'll get up to 60,000 by the end of the week. And
here's another one out of Florida, Henry. This is important. 43 Florida ICUs hit capacity today.
Yeah. Well, that's happening. That's happening, you know, in several of these states. Well, all the ones I just said. Well, I don't know about California. California is big. So, you know, I don't think they're hitting capacity. But Texas is running into that in some of their locations, and Arizona is running into it, and so is Florida. So they're all at risk of running out of ICUs at beds. And the numbers just keep on increasing. And that's why, you know, the idea of opening up the schools, I mean, they're having, I mean, Western Pennsylvania's got some a serious issue where Allegheny County, which is where Pittsburgh is, had over 200 cases yesterday. And in fact, they had half of the cases in Pennsylvania. And that's a lot for one county. I mean, there's three or four counties that are in the Pittsburgh metropolitan area. And I mean, Allegheny's the biggest one. But they had half, not of Western Pennsylvania, they had half of the cases in all of Pennsylvania. And then they had 200 again today. So it's getting a little bit out of control. And along those lines, the football, high school football teams are starting to practice, you know, and ahead of the fall season, and they've canceled practices because players are positive. And so this idea that Trump has that, A, all the schools should open up because he said so. And B, if they don't open up, he's got to lean on the governors is just a formula for disaster, because you can't open up the schools when you've got this type of activity. If basically the lockdown had worked and the U.S. looked like the rest of the world, like Europe had the same Italian strain. They basically kept the lockdown on a little longer than the U.S. They had better compliance. Everybody wore masks. And they've got it under control. They've got it down to, you know, all of Europe, I think, has got 5,000 cases a day or so. And that's at a level that they can do contact tracing. They can go ahead and put out small fires where, you know, they have a outbreak in a given location, and they can track those people down and quarantine them and kind of stop the transmission. And everything is just the opposite here. I mean, everything is wrong, from Trump refusing to wear a mask to him, you know, making absurd claims that, you know, 99% of the cases don't have any problems, to not having supplies. So
when he says no problems, what is he talking about? Asymptomatic? He's suggesting they're just asymptomatic.
No, he's just lying. He's just lying. He said that, you know, the reason that the U.S. has got a lot of cases because they're doing so much testing. They've done 40 million tests, and of those that were positive, 99% are, hold on, I had his terminology was something to the effect that there just wasn't a problem. There was no issue with 99%.
Well, he's disconnected from reality. There's no question about it.
Right. I mean, I went through the math yesterday. I mean, even if you discount deaths, that would mean there was less than 28,000, and there's 128,000 deaths. And more and more information is coming out indicating that there are more problems than just the deaths, that people are coming up with, you know, long-term issues, possibly irreversible problems, both with breathing difficulties and, you know, there's some neurological issues, and it's not at all, you know, once you're discharged, you're home free like nothing ever happened. It's just the opposite. People basically take months to be able to walk quickly, or, you know,
neurological damage, 99%
are, quote, totally harmless. So that's his characterization.
Totally harmless.
99%. Totally harmless. Right.
Oh, my.
I mean, it's just a flat out lie. I said that, you know, his specialty is the big lie. He tells these whoppers that are so big that people believe it because they say, well, you know, he couldn't say that if that wasn't true.
Well, it's the old axiom. The bigger the lie, the easier it is to market it.
Right. So he that's all he does is, lies big and small, but he does his share of the big ones. And so the totally harmless is another example. And so what that does, and then politicizing the pandemic. So when you and he even said that again today, he said that, the schools that this is the Democrats want to keep the schools closed, so that'll hurt the economy and that'll, and it'll hurt him. So he's viewing keeping the schools closed as a political. I mean, everything's projection with him. So that, you know, essentially, because opening the schools is a serious concern when you have this level of virus floating around, he says, oh, it's all political and there's no reason to keep the schools closed, and they really need to get the schools open to get the economy rolling. And it's going to be an unmitigated disaster because there's way too much virus. You could put up all your plexiglass barriers and have the classrooms at 50% occupancy and, you know, have people come 2 or 3 days a week and then do the other 2 or 3 days online. And it's not going to make any difference. The virus transmits way too easily. It's easier to transmit this virus than the flu virus. Even WHO is saying, well, maybe it is airborne. And if it's airborne, it just goes in the air and it lingers. So it just kind of hangs around. So if you've got students in
for up to 30 minutes, by the way.
And they're going from class to class. The virus is just gonna, they're gonna be walking through clouds of virus because you got, you know, hundreds of students in the building, and they're in the building all day. And there's no way. I mean, you saw what happened with flu. Flu was easy to track with the swine flu. Because you could, it basically outcompeted all the other flus. So that by the fall of 2009, that was the only thing that was circulating. And, you know, it caused all kind of symptoms that were misdiagnosed. And they talked about, you know, this perfect storm that, you know, people were having allergies and they were having the stomach flu and they were having seasonal flu and they were having bronchitis and they were all having the swine flu, and then they were just getting different presentations of it. Speaking of seasonal, Henry, right now,
seasonal, we haven't seen any seasonal dip at all. On the contrary, in the middle of summer, we're seeing a rocket taking off, straight up.
But the reason the rocket is taking off is because the virus is so transmissible.
Yeah.
And so when the country went into a lockdown, that went and deprived the virus of a lot of transmission because people were basically staying in their homes. They weren't going out. They weren't, you know, interacting. And the virus had difficulties. And that's how they got the flattening of the curve. And then once they started loosening things and people started interacting, and in some areas people refused to wear masks and people thought that once they loosened that it was over, they could do whatever they wanted. And then the virus started to spread. So the numbers went up because the virus had been artificially suppressed. And then with the relaxing, it started to increase again. And there was still plenty of virus. You still had essential personnel going out and they were getting infected. You had, you know, processing plants where they were passing the virus along. There were prisons and there were, you know, long-term care facilities. So there were a lot of different places that the virus was able to have reservoirs and be ready to expand dramatically as soon as they got the chance. And so they lifted the lockdowns in the summer. And so that's when the virus started to spread. And then, you know, there seems to be more in the southern states, but I think that has to do with the virus hadn't got there yet. I mean, the activity that's being reported is really the Italian lineage. That lineage transmits more easily. So you're going to have R naught is going to be even higher than it is for the original strain. And it takes a while in the Herald wave for that virus to move around from one location to the other. And that's what's happening here in Pittsburgh. In Pittsburgh, we didn't really get that much activity when it was high in eastern Pennsylvania. It was in the Philadelphia area they were setting records there, and there really wasn't that much going on here in western Pennsylvania. It was mostly in long-term care facilities. There really wasn't that much activity. And then now it's kind of changed in the last couple of weeks. And in Allegheny County, there's been 100 or more cases every day for 8 days now, with several days having 200 cases. And you know, they sequenced the earlier ones, and they were the Italian lineage. So it was here, and it took a little while to get to a critical mass. And now it's spreading like wildfire in western Pennsylvania, and there's hardly anything going on in eastern Pennsylvania. And that's essentially the nature of this initial phase, where it kind of bounces around from one part of the country to the other. So it's going up in the areas where it's spreading. And like I said, there's, you know, I saw that there's some backlogs that are up to a week to get results. So if you have that type of backlogs for results, you can't really do contact tracing, because if you ask people, you know, if they're contacts, if they've got symptoms, you get a lot more compliance if you actually test them and you say, look, you're infected, you have to quarantine. But they can't do that because it takes a week to get the results. And so by the time you get the results, the quarantine period is over. You don't have the test to reinforce the fact that you have the virus, you're going to transmit the virus, so you have to quarantine. Instead, as you might have the virus, and we're waiting for the results, and we're waiting for the results, and waiting for results. And, you know, so getting results a week later doesn't facilitate contact tracing. And this is all something that should be done by the federal government. They've got the powers to make sure that the testing materials are sufficient, that the PPEs are sufficient, that they've got ventilators. They should have more ECMO machines. There's a shortage of ECMO machines in many of these areas now. And so all of these shortages are for things that aren't new devices. They're not difficult to make. They're not something that we don't have manufacturing capabilities that can't be expanded. We've got a federal government that is not interested, that is not involved, that is not doing anything useful other than saying, get back to school and get back to work. And that is going to spread the virus like wildfire. I mean, it's already spreading like wildfire. And the numbers, the deaths are now starting to go up. Now, the numbers for today, I don't know if some of these are impacted by the holiday, but New Jersey reported 52 deaths today. California did 113 deaths today. Arizona did 117 deaths today. Texas had 60 deaths today. Florida had 63 deaths today. So this you know, nonsense. The governor is saying, oh, we got a low death rate, and, you know, there's young people that are affected, and that's a good thing. That's a temporary thing. I said this before, and it bears repeating. In eastern Pennsylvania, that's how it started. They were mostly young people that were going to the hospital initially. And it's probably because those are the ones that are going to get exposed. The people that got exposed are people that took trips to Italy. They went on ski trips. They were younger. They were out.
Oh, they're mobile.
February and March, and so they're the ones that got infected initially, and then once they got here, they went in the hospital first, but other families got infected, and then, it, you know, like I said, it got into long-term care facilities, and then you have the elderly get infected. So then the age started going up, and the death rate started going up. And that's the same thing's going to happen to Florida. Florida's got most of the cases are in the Miami area. They're in Miami, Dade, and Broward counties, and that's where the elderly population is. So those numbers are those death rates are going to increase dramatically. You know, I said that they're able to handle the patients a little bit better. You know, they got more experience, and all of these little things help, but they help at the margin. It's kind of like, you know, instead of 80% dying, you know, 60% die. That's still a lot of deaths. And it takes, and the deaths are a lagging indicator. So there were 800 deaths in the U.S. today. And so it's heading to 1,000, 871. So it's going to be above 1,000 by the end of the week, unless there, you know, there was a significant impact because of the holiday. But there were 871 today. If that's not a function of the holiday, then it's going to be 1,000 by the end of the week. And within a couple of weeks, it's going to be back to 2,000 deaths a day. It's going to be just where it was. Right. A month or two ago when things were raging in the Northeast. So the reason it's all concerning is that school's going to start. And when you have this much virus, even if the students do relatively well, they're going to bring the virus home. They're going to affect their parents, or they're going to affect their grandparents, or they're going to affect workers that go to long-term care facilities. And it's just going to start spreading throughout the whole population. It's not going to stay in the younger population. They may be the ones that got infected first because they were the ones that were going to the bars and restaurants more, and it was easier to get infected there, so they got infected. But it's really the level of the virus in the area coupled with how many interactions the people have. And you know, each of these holidays is just another burst of activity. So, you know, the activity from the 4th of July hasn't really appeared yet. And by the time it appears, it'll be time for school to start. And
that's right.
Some of these schools are going to start. Probably a lot of the schools are going to start. My guess is they'll be open with in-class activities for a month at the most. That within a month, they'll have so many students and so many teachers that are infected that they're going to say, we're going back to online, that we can't afford to have this many people have the infections. And then the other aspect, which is what Tony Fauci was saying today. I mean, he's not doing press conferences. You know, the task force is essentially in name only, essentially. I'm not sure how often they meet. They don't really say anything. So he actually was in Alabama. They did like a weekly update on COVID, and they invited him. And he, you know, raised these issues. He said, you know, don't overinterpret the low death rate, that this virus causes all kinds of additional problems. And that's partially because it's got this polybasic plebiscite. So it can infect lots of different cell types, including blood vessels, and cause these clotting problems. And these issues can cause, you know, long-term damage. And there was even a report that said that young people that were asymptomatic and didn't really seem to be strongly affected by the virus had lung damage. So So, you know, it was kind of like they thought it was no big deal, that they were positive, they really didn't have symptoms. And then they find out when they examine their lungs that there's damage there. So the virus can cause damage without them developing some of these symptoms. And then they have all kinds of other symptoms. I mean, one of the biggest, highest frequency was loss of taste and smell. So, I mean, those are neurological kind of issues. So
that's
if you
right.
lose your taste and smell, that's not that, well, you know, it'll come back. It's not a big deal. That's an indication it is a big deal. The virus basically made it so that you can't smell or taste anything. That the virus had to do some significant damage to get rid of those two senses. And so the virus is doing all kinds of damage. It's not in the totally harmless category. And people aren't dying because they lost their taste and smell, but they had a serious viral infection. And they might not have felt that bad, although a lot of them, they do feel bad. They feel like they got, you know, hit by a truck and they're in bed and they're a week or two that they feel the effects of the virus, but they don't get sick enough to go in the hospital. They don't end up on ECMO machines or on ventilators, but they definitely know they've been infected with the virus. And the problem is that this virus is likely to be like the flu. It's not, like I said, pandemics don't just stop. That's not the nature of pandemics. The nature of pandemic is a virus. It's novel and it's so infectious that it goes worldwide. And once it gets established worldwide and it's established as humans as a host, there's no reason for it to go away, you know, like overnight type of a thing, or not even overnight, even within a year or two. And it's not, and coronaviruses can do a lot of recombining. And so there's the vaccine are probably not going to be long term. If the vaccine works, it'll give you, you know, protection for maybe the season, but it's not
maybe a few, maybe a few months.
You're not going to get lifelong protection.
Nope.
And the virus is going to evolve, and so it's going to come back again. And the problem is that this polybasic cleavage site is not something that's going to go away. It gives it a distinct advantage. It can infect lots of different cell types. So with that type of advantage, it's not like all of a sudden you're going to get a new version that doesn't have the polybasic cleavage site. In all likelihood, the polybasic cleavage site is there. Purin is a protease that's widely expressed in many different cell types in humans. And therefore, this virus is going to be able to infect lots of different cell types. And so if it affects your lungs one year, it might affect your cause neurological problems the next year, or it might cause a clotting problem the next year. It kind of depends on where the virus comes in and where the virus goes. And it's going to be a recurring type of an issue. And so to at least give you a leg up is to kind of keep the virus under control till there's at least some more therapeutic and vaccine possibilities for combating it. And the last thing you want to do is just have the virus explode. And, you know, Trump's already saying, well, we only got 130,000 dead. You know, it could have been millions. It could have been 2 million, 3. He was up to 3 million today. I mean, he just pulls numbers out of the air. But you know, it could have been 3 million. Well, this still could be 3 million. And he was saying a couple of months ago, well, we got to treat this like a war. He's not treating it like a war. He's saying it's up to the governors, and he doesn't even want to hear about it. You know, he's working on the economy. And the 130,000 that died, I think, is more than died in, like, World War One. It is like a war. That's a lot of casualties. That's a lot of deaths. And it's by no means over. The latest projection is that by November 1st, the total number of deaths will be up to 200,000. So the idea that, so that is essentially saying you're not going to stay at this low death rate. The death rate's going to go up. And in a couple, you know, 3 months, you're going to have almost as many new deaths as you have old deaths. You're going to go from 130,000 to 200,000.
Not the best campaign plank. No matter what happens in November, this election is going to lead to severe chaos in this country. Guaranteed.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the way it's being addressed, if you look at these curves, I mean, the U.S., it goes up, and it kind of parallels Europe. If you take all the European, or if you basically normalize it to cases per, you know, million population or something, the curves look the same at the beginning. They have about the same height. Europe was a little bit in front of the U.S. And then Europe, it didn't flatten the curve. The curve went and dipped down and went all the way down to baseline. And the U.S. dipped for a little bit. It got nowhere near baseline. And then it's kind of flattened out. And now it's going up. But it's not going up from baseline. It's going up from a relatively high level. So now it's at a higher level than it's ever been. I mean, when it was transmitting several months ago, there were 30-some-odd thousand cases a day. There were 55,000 cases today. And like I said, I don't think that those were the actual numbers. I think they were somewhat limited by testing. And those numbers are going to continue to go up because you have all these events. You've got the 4th of July isn't showing up yet, and then you're going to have school opening. And that's what happened with the swine flu. As soon as the schools opened in the fall, that's when the cases exploded. Prior to that, they were scattered. You had one location, one school had it, you know, kids went to Mexico on spring break, and they came back and infected other ones in that school. But it wasn't like the whole city was infected. A few school districts were infected. And then over the summer, you had some summer camps were infected. But then in the fall, with the, you know, aid of the interactions that happened at school, and everybody was infected. They did a serological study in Pittsburgh. 40% of the students had been infected with the virus before the vaccine became available. So by, you know, October, November, 40% were infected, and most of those were infected in the fall. There wasn't anything like X percentage of the whole population were infected in the spring. There were spotty outbreaks. It took the CDC or WHO something like almost a month to declare a pandemic, because that's how long it took for it to go from continent to continent. And speaking of which, today Trump notified Congress that he's pulling out of the WHO. So in the middle of a pandemic, he says he's not going to give them any more money. And B, in the middle of a pandemic, he says he's pulling out. Now, the only positive part of that is you have to give it 1 year notice. So he's giving him notice that the U.S. will be gone in a year, and hopefully Trump will be gone long before that. That'll never happen. But, I mean, that's how he deals with it. He's going to pull out of WHO, but he's going to blame them and China for not controlling the virus. China controls the virus. China has very few cases. Europe controls the virus. They have very few cases. The U.S. leads the world in cases and deaths, and it's all right at Trump's doorstep. He just totally bungled the whole thing. And I said,
Henry, he should have been, come on, we've talked about this. You, all of you listening know, he should have ordered full production of all PPE, ECMO machines, you name it, in January. But he was just playing games until the end of February and March, and he did, listening to Jerry Kushner, don't worry about it.
But he still hasn't done it.
Not yet. That was my point. You didn't let me finish. 7 months later, what's happened? Nothing. Still haven't done it.
Right. And so there's new shortages of PPEs. There's new shortages of reagents. You can't do contact tracing, even if you had the personnel. There's not enough trained personnel to really do a reasonable job of contact tracing. And
that's right.
Even if you had the personnel, you don't have the reagents to actually do the test. So you can't do the testing. You can't do the tracing. Those are two of the requirements for opening up the school. Those are two of the requirements for opening up the economy. That what's going to happen is what's starting to happen here in Pittsburgh. You're looking every day, this area that's, you know, right next to where you are, all of a sudden they have 5 cases. They've got 10 cases one day. They've got 5 or 10 more the next day. And you can see these numbers are going up from very low numbers. I mean, there's one community right next door. They had 12 cases yesterday. They're up to 19 cases today. You know, they almost doubled in a day. And they will double by tomorrow. They'll have 24 by tomorrow. And so the numbers are starting to take off. People see that. They go and say, they just had an announcement to Target nearby. They had multiple employees tested positive.
Johns Hopkins is now reporting 60,209 new cases today, I guess, here in the States.
Yeah.
60,209.
Yeah, like I said, I had 55,000, but I left out a couple states. And I think the numbers are still going up in California. I don't know. It got up to 10,350 but now they just revised it. I got it at 9,373. I just did a refresh. So I don't know what's going on there, but they're close to 10,000. They were over 10,000. In the last refresh, which was, I think it's around 7 o'clock now. At 8 o'clock, they lowered a little bit. But in any event, they're around 10,000, and so these are getting to be all time highs, and they're going to continue going up because there's nothing really to slow this down right now. It's moving into exponential phase.
Would slow it. No.
That is in, I think it was Arizona. Their testing is like at a 24% positive rate now. So a quarter of the tests are positive. They're supposed to have that number like down to 3 or 4% or something. If it's higher than that, they're really not doing enough testing. Arizona's got it at 24%. And Arizona's, the state, that Trump showed up for a visit at the mask factory and said, oh, you guys can go ahead and open things up. They had things closed down because they still had cases. They didn't meet any of the criteria that the CDC had for moving up, you know, the level to start opening things up. So they just opened it up, and now they're the worst state in the country. You know, we're like a month after Trump said you're good to go. So I mean, he's playing doctor. He is totally unqualified. It's not based on anything medical. It's not based on any safety. It's not based on anything other than him looking at the calendar and seeing when the election is and knowing that if he doesn't get the economy going before the election, he's not going to win the election. And there's no way he's going to get the economy going because the virus is not going to go down in the fall. It's going to go up in the fall. And in fact, it's going to go up at the end of the summer because that's when they're going to start opening up the schools and saying, oh, we'll put up a little plexiglass here and we'll cut back the number of people and we'll be good. And it just doesn't work that way. The schools are not a good place to control a virus, especially a virus that's airborne. And even if they wear masks, they're still susceptible unless they all get N95 masks. And of course, they don't have N95 masks because there is shortage also. And a mask, I mean, how hard is it to make a mask?
Well, it's gross or grotesque negligence that we're running out of masks. Just, it's inexcusable. It's unthinkable.
Right.
No leadership.
Because if you're gonna wear a mask, you might as well wear a mask that prevents
that works.
The virus both ways, toss something that's good for large droplets, so that going out, so that basically if you cough and you're wearing a mask, the virus isn't going to go out as far, and a lot will get trapped by the mask. But it's not going to prevent that much from coming in, and at least an N95 would offer the wearer some protection. So that's what the problem is. I mean, Trump's still doing rallies. He's going to have one in New Hampshire coming up. They say they're going to give out masks. They've been giving out masks. People that come to his rallies don't wear them. And the only way he's going to get them to wear them is if he starts wearing this mask. And, you know, that just seems to be unlikely. So he's going to continue, you know, setting a poor example, downplaying the harm that the virus inflicts, and it's just going to deteriorate, and by fall, like you said, it's going to be a total disaster because the levels are going to be much higher than they are right now, and people are going to say, you know, I don't want to go to work. You know, there's infected people there, you know, and they can't even get tested to find out who's infected and who isn't because you run out of reagents. Because right now the level is high. The level is going to be higher in a couple of months once you start opening up the schools and once you have more people going back to work. You're just feeding the virus. I mean, everything Trump is doing is to make the pandemic worse. And with the pandemic becoming worse, the economy is not going to recover. It's just not going to be functional that way. There's going to be too many people absent and too many people that don't want to go to work and too many people that are in the hospital. And that has an even broader effect because people are afraid to go to the hospital. Elective surgeries are halted. And people end up getting sick from neglect because they don't get their regular checkups and medical attention because everything's full of COVID. So it's just a total failure in leadership.
The stress that Americans have gone through has permanently damaged many of them, emotionally, psychologically, financially. The damage, I still do not believe, has been adequately surveyed or even analyzed. I don't think people understand how much damage has been done to our country and our way of life.
Well,
I really don't.
I don't think they understand how much more damage is going to happen in the next 2 or 3 months.
It's
going to make this spring look like a cakewalk, a walk in the park.
You may well be right, Henry. I'm not going to argue that one moment. All right. Thank you. We'll be back tomorrow. Do it again. We're not going to run out of material. That's for damn sure.
No. All right. No. Something every day. Okay. Sounds good. Stay safe. Take care.
Yeah. All right. Dr. Henry Nyman, thank you for being here tonight. 3 hours. Zip. Right on by. It's just amazing how it happens. We will be right back with you tomorrow and do it again. Take care.